Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hello everybody and welcome to a very special episode of the THL show because one of our members is pregnant. No, sorry. She's COVID.
I was positive one way or another anyway. So
So how's the dose been?
Oh, it is. I'm not suited to lockdown and I would never survive in prison for any longer than maybe 4 days. So if I went in for a short stint, maybe. But I'm absolutely, I feel like that woman, you know, that film Room where she was locked in the bedroom for like 20 years with her child. Yeah. I felt like that.
Now, was the beloved feeding you?
The beloved kept a very safe distance, interestingly enough, away from me, fed me basically through the keyhole and tried to make sure he wasn't going to contract COVID, which is interesting because when he had COVID, I attended to his every needs and I thought I'll sacrifice myself for COVID and if I get it, I get it. But no, it wasn't reciprocated. And the minute he got away, I started to feel better, he was gone for the hills. So,
what class of food were you getting?
So the first 2 days I was sick and I wasn't really able to eat. And then the second day, third day, I lost my taste. So I could have been eating anything. No jokes. I could have been eating anything and I wouldn't have known what it was, except I did know the texture of it. So that could have been off-putting.
No, I'm just curious as to what he provided.
Soup.
Soup,
like, you know, fucking Martha Stewart's like.
Well, do you knock on the door and leave it outside the door?
He didn't need to knock. You know, the house isn't that the soundproof. He just said, it's here. Tea and
the Baxter's sort of, vegetable soup.
He started off with, he was a bit ambitious the first day with like toasted bagels and nice sandwiches, nice bagel-y sandwich things. And then when I told him I couldn't taste it, it just dwindled away to
novelty wore off that.
Yeah, so and then he was gone and he didn't get COVID, thankfully for him. I was sitting last night watching Love Island because I've become somewhat addicted to it in my illness. But I was sitting in the house last night and a Range Rover pulled up outside and I went to the door and I said, I've got COVID, don't come in. So it was a neighbour of mine, but he gave me a bouquet of flowers and I said, God, that was really nice. And he goes, oh, no, I didn't know you had COVID, he said, but I did buy a new Range Rover on Friday in Belfast. And he said, when I bought it, your man said, I was giving him my address and he said, where are you from, blah, blah, blah. And he said, here's a bunch of flowers for your significant other. And your man says, well, I don't have a significant other. And he says, well, do me a favour, will you drop them round to Loretta's house then? So hello to Gary Connolly. And Gary, the next time you're sending something, could you send the keys of a Range Rover, please? Not a bloody bouquet of flowers.
You are a divil for the product placement.
I'd love a Range Rover.
I thought I was bad, Tommy.
Crow, how much did you get for that, Loretta?
I didn't get anything, but I'd like a Range Rover.
You can't say it's
Gary,
like
could
that.
You give me a Range Rover, for God's sake? Not a bouquet of flowers.
He bought a.
It's like when Jerry Ryan was doing the radio show and he was, used to go, I was in La Hinch last week and I stayed in the lovely La Hinch Arms Hotel. What a great place. And little did we know that there was a possibility, maybe, I'm not saying for sure that it happened, but there might have been the possibility that there was $5,000 for every mention of the Hinch Arms Hotel.
Well, I didn't get paid in this product placement, but I did get a bouquet of flowers.
Well, that's a classic, isn't it? Buying a Range Rover up the north. We just love them stories. So many of us think of buying a car up the north, but not many people go through with it. There's something magical about it, isn't there? I bought a car up the north.
Really?
Yeah, because we all think we're getting a better deal up the north, don't we?
I suppose.
I don't know. I mean,
if you're going to pay $120,000 for a Range Rover and you can get it for £80,000 and you think it's a better deal, well, maybe go for it.
I love it.
Or I don't know how much a Range Rover costs.
So listen, I have an idea for us. It's a radical idea.
Okay. Yes, radical is a strong word, Tommy.
Yeah, but it interests me, and I don't know if it interests you, right. But it interests me. So,
were you thinking about this during the week?
When this notion came into my head, I kind of went, I wonder now, would the lads be interested? I'd be interested in it.
Right, go on.
But I wonder would the lads be interested in it? So, a long time ago, I was talking to a friend of mine who knew when he was like 17 or 18 that he wanted to live a life of service. A kind of a strange way of putting it, isn't it? You don't really hear that too often these days. But that was the thing that he had in his head. He said, I want to live a life of service. And so he tried to join the priesthood. But then he had a meeting with Mother Teresa. Did I tell you this one before?
No.
And he had a meeting with Mother Teresa. And Mother Teresa, nobody knows how she knew this, but she went straight up to him. This was in Rome. Way back in 88 or 89 or something like that. Mother Teresa went up to this fella that she'd never met before. And she said, God does not want you to be a priest.
Oh.
Now.
The cheek of her.
Put that in your Keith Barry book.
Oh my God.
Put that in your Mindbender novel. Anyway, so that just confirmed what he was thinking himself anyway. So he didn't become a priest anymore, but he was committed to the thing of a life of service. And one of the things he does now is that he works with Trócaire. Trócaire, as you will know, Larita, is the Irish for, that's right, compassion.
Oh, right. So I knew it was something giving, but I wasn't sure what.
Remember that great player, Jane Trócaire?
Oh, yeah. Jane Trócaire.
So what does it mean?
Compassion, kind of empathy, you know what I mean? Or Lord have mercy on us or something. Anyway, so one of the things he works with Trócaire. And then I was chatting, so that was in the back of my mind, the life of service, Trócaire. And then I was talking to a friend of mine, Michael, who is the president. And
of the Vintners Association.
he's the president of of Ireland. That's right.
Ah, he's a friend of yours, he is. Have you mentioned him before on the podcast?
I was talking to Michael.
Would you think he gets an invitation up there? If you're...
He doesn't want you coming up. Mm.
He's like Mother Teresa. He just knows it's not for us. He knows we're not suited to a life in the Oris.
Jesus, he could be... Yeah, I'm just wondering if it wouldn't be much of a hop now for him to be disguised as Mother Teresa. But anyway, that's for another show. So I was chatting to him and he was talking about how there's a famine on at the moment in the Horn of Africa. And he remembers being out there 30 years ago with a lady called Sally O'Neill, I think is her name, who works with Trócaire. And he was doing, you know, they went to all the different places where the famine was and how awful it was and how there's a famine there at the moment. And I went, all right, okay. I thought that's kind of interesting. So then I did a bit of research into Trócaire. I says, wow, a life of service. And the fellow who said that to me was saying he had a few kind of health scares. And there was once upon a time he thought he mightn't be long for this particular dimension. And he said, I suppose when I die, I hope that I've done a few good things with my life. Do you know the kind of a way? That you kind of, I hope a few people have benefited from the stuff that I've done and, you know, that I wasn't a totally bad person and in practical ways I helped other people. So I did a bit of digging. I was thinking about, well, just if I died now, what would they say about me?
You say gone too soon. And,
I detected a level of sarcasm in that, Arisha.
Gone before he got a chance to give for the others. Imagine, he had so much potential.
Oh, you're a wagon. You're a wagon of the highest order.
I can see it now. I can see it now. I'll be doing an interview in the Irish Independent and he should have, you know. It's just, if he had another 10 years, he could have done so much more. He was just talking about all the things he was going to do.
He had so many things on the list.
Yeah.
But you, when you pass, you'll know, Larissa, that you've done that.
But I want to keep giving more and more and more and more all the time.
Like Joe Dolan.
Like Jesus. I'm going to stand out in the road and let them take bits of my clothes off as I'm parting.
I can see Jesus going up Calvary with the cross on his back, being very similar to you walking around the house in Knockmore in your pyjamas with COVID. I think there's a lot.
Oh, and the shoes I'm wearing for the wedding, because I've been trying to break them in. So I've been during the bathrobe, COVID. A bathrobe and high heels.
I don't know about you, Hector. You're probably in the same boat as me. A lot of potential. I know. They'll say of you, Hector, that he gave a lot to the community.
Yeah.
Or maybe, maybe. Sure, I was a good man at the club, maybe.
So, I'm not sure that I would have great credentials there, other than what I've contributed to the nation.
Yes.
In terms of the chat.
Yes. Yes, Tommy, yes. Very, very
important.
In terms
of conversation.
Yes.
It's fed a lot of people.
So then I started thinking, wouldn't it be interesting to investigate? And I've tried it before, kind of investigating ways that someone with my particular inclinations and talents would actually be able to help. I must have told you about the time that I got involved with the Simon community in Galway and I ran a storytelling workshop.
Was this back at the Crane? God. Was this way back at the Crane?
My name is Tommy. I'm completely impractical.
Tommy, focus on one story there now. Go back.
I'll give you all the tools you need to tell a story. Africa.
So all these stories will link up, you know.
They're linking in.
Yeah. So years ago, I was trying to. I got involved with the Simon community in Galway, and I can raise money. I'm a good fundraiser. I can do gigs and give the money to whoever wants it. But in terms of my actual skills, you know, so I said, "Will I do a?" I said, "I'll do a storytelling workshop with the homeless people."
Oh, God help us and save us all.
So I met these homeless lads and we sat in a circle and just tried to tell stories. To be honest, it never really got off the ground.
I'm very surprised about that now, I have to say. Very surprised.
But that kind of faded away. And then I was looking at I did a bit of digging in the Trokra thing. And I was looking at all the different parts of the world where Trokra are. So they're in Myanmar, as Hector would say it, Myanmar. They are in several places in Africa. They are in the Lebanon and the Gaza Strip and Palestine, and they're in a couple of countries in Central America. And Michael D released a short speech the other day.
Yesterday, about, I saw it, yeah.
Yeah, about a really amazing speech about the famine in Africa and how awful and all as the war in Ukraine is, that it has consequences outside of Eastern Europe, that there are, you know, and one of the consequences is the rise in the price of wheat and grain and the unavailability of those products in the Horn of Africa, who are already on the edge of a famine. So I started thinking, wouldn't it be an interesting idea if the three of us went to RTE and said, we would like to do a television show where the three of us go to, it's a 6-part series, the three of us go to 6 countries around the world that are experiencing extreme famine or injustice on a large scale, and we will go there and we will do a 30-minute show from each country in order to raise awareness.
Very interesting. Yep.
Is that a curious one? Will I leave it with you?
I wanted to go to one of those countries. I can't remember where it was now because there was an outbreak of malaria. So I wasn't able to go to build houses a few years back. One of those countries that needed houses.
Oh, didn't remember Alan Cairns was building houses in Zambia.
Yeah, it was wasn't with Alan Cairns now. It was with someone else, but it was that kind of idea. So yeah,
very interesting. And you know, we could pick six beautiful, unique locations and highlight six different plights, problems, massive problems.
And just go there and listen to people and listen.
Don't
to their
put in the pitch that you're going to do storytelling with them, would you?
Excuse me, Larissa, leave that.
Let's leave that out until we know for sure that we're getting it.
Could I do... All right, Larissa, okay. They may be starving and they may be dispossessed and they may be living in war-torn or famine-stricken countries, but that does not mean they would not like to see me do stand-up.
Oh, yeah. No, as long as you can do the stand-up, as long as you don't teach them, you know, the tools of it just yet. You know, let's get them back on their feet first, like.
If my next DVD was called Live from Darfur,
Soweto, or Tommy Tiernan, Live in Soweto,
Live in Myanmar, I think that should be fly off the shelves. But would you be half interested in something like that?
Definitely. I'd love it.
Yeah,
I would love it.
There are some amazing places and people to see, and the most incredible people you'll ever meet are the poorest people you'll meet. There's a humility involved here, Tommy. There's when you get to these places and you see
what would we call it?
It would be
Tommy Tiernan giving back.
THL Aaron Moher.
Oh, we're doing it in French.
No, we're doing it, not doing it in
THL.
Irish. I can't.
I don't know what you call it. What would you call it?
I would just go
Journey
or something. I don't know. Trokra. Call it Trokra, compassion. Anyway, so it's about raising awareness about what's going on, and
absolutely.
But sometimes people get stuck into news feeds that maybe are a bit one dimensional, and maybe it would be a nice thing to do for all of us is just to open up the parameters there and see what's going on in tough places around the world. Not looking for money. I don't think I'm not a big fan of these Churchgate collections and the public being hounded for cash all the time. Like they're saying they need $4.5 billion to stop the famine in the Horn of Africa. I don't think people should be asked that. I think governments and multinational corporations, I think Facebook and Apple and Meta and Amazon and Tesla and all these and Coca-Cola and Nike and Adidas and fucking Ralph Lauren and
yeah, keep going. There's a long list.
Morton's delicatessen in Galway and Joyce's of Headford. I think big companies like that should be the ones that give. You know. But anyway,
I agree. So
will you leave it with me now, Hector? Does a show like that interfere with your?
Not in the slightest. Not in the slightest. Because over the years I've been on places around the world in Bangladesh and in Myanmar and especially to Africa. I've seen some of the most simple, brilliant help that has come from outside the countries in deepest Ethiopia and deepest Sudan, helping so many. It's just when you get to these places, you realize the world is just an incredible place. And we are so fucking lucky to be born on this island, thrown up here in the middle of the Atlantic. When you see what people are how they're surviving, the unique talents they have to survive in these places, and how they can get on with a daily routine of life where they're surviving on $5 a day. But what'll strike you is that the handshake, the smile, the friendliness, and then you'll realise that we're not all.
Will there be sex? Is that ever part of the
equation?
Love Island. We'll be doing a version of it out in Myanmar.
Love Island, live from Palestine. Naked and Afraid from the Gaza Strip.
Next to Enter the Villa.
It's Halum Halim Al-Aham.
This is a wonderful idea. So, a wonderful idea.
So my final curiosity is this. For the first time in a long time, I went in for a massage in a spa the other day. I was on the road. And I phoned down to reception and I said, is there any chance of getting a rub and in the spa? And she said, yes, there is. So she booked me and I was in 9 o'clock the following morning. So I went down and she said to me, what do I want? And I went, I said, Excuse me?
Poor thing. I said, she didn't know you. God love her.
I said, I just want, I love getting my head done. You know, a bit of
the Indian head massage.
I love a bit of head. And I love getting the shoulders and the neck and the head done. So I just said the shoulders, the neck and the head, please. So she was fantastic. And I lay down with my face in the hole. And she was kind of, she had beautiful toes. That's the only really bit of her I saw. She had lovely toes. And she was giving me a good old rub. And then she said, turn over on your stomach there. And she kind of, she rubbed me head and the kind of me clavicles. She got stuck into me clavicles. And she's kind of rubbing me chest and stuff like that. And I had this request. It was coming towards the end. And I felt like asking her to do something for me. So I was there in my boxer shorts in a lovely warm room and lovely loads of massage oil. And she was after spending the guts of 55.
Go on.
Easy, Larita.
That's the COVID.
Was that the COVID sigh
COVID,
there?
That's COVID.
That was a deep COVID sigh.
Why do you always expect the worst, Larita,
from
me?
I'm just interested where this is going.
So
go on, Tommy. You were lying there.
So I was lying there. I was covered in oil and me. She'd been rubbing everywhere. And from the, she'd, they head towards your glutes, don't they? On the back massage, they do kind of.
They go right down into your ass, yeah.
Into the glutes, not into your ass, Larita. Well, obviously, as you get older, your sphincter loosens as you get older. But that doesn't mean that it's.
Doesn't mean you could just go straight in.
No, not at all. Anyway, so.
So she had moved down from. She had moved down your back now, had she?
No, she'd done my back and it was all.
And then
good.
She started
and
moving.
And she was strong. And then she said, flip over onto your back. So then she started rubbing me chest and me head and all that. And it was, I needed it from all the. It's all the tension.
Of course.
All the tension I carry around in my neck and stuff like that. And I had this. It was coming towards the end. I had an hour with her. And I wanted to ask her something. I wanted to ask her to do something for me. But I chickened out. And I just want to know if you think what I was going to ask her would have been weird, or if you were a massage person, would you have done this? Whatever state of mind she'd rubbed me into with the forest music and the pan pipes of Guatemala going and the kind of the rain and all this kind of sand and the low lights and the oil all over my body. And her lovely little toes.
And the salt rock in the corner.
What I wanted to say to her was, could you do me a favour, please? And she'd say, yes. And I said, could you be able to put your left hand? So I'm lying on my back, okay? And she's
your
finishing
left
up
hand,
on my chest.
Yes.
Could you put your left hand, not even your hand, just your fingertips, on my heart? And could you put your right hand, just the fingertips, on me forehead and hold me there for a few minutes?
No, Tommy, I'm so glad you chickened out.
Was this on the menu? Was this
what
on the menu
What is that
card,
exactly? What would she be doing there? Would she be telling, would you empty in your sinuses or?
What? No, listen to what I asked.
I know.
It wasn't on.
Your head and here or whatever.
And my heart.
Yeah.
Yes.
So could you put your fingertips on my heart and put your fingertips on my forehead?
No, Tommy, that would have started thinking that you were a creep.
Really?
So obviously, Tommy, there was healing hands. Do you feel there were healing hands?
And what then were you going to get her to do when she stood there like a prune with her hand on your head and your chest?
I just thought...
There's nothing sinister
well,
in that,
it's
I don't
going
think.
Down a sinister
nothing
road.
Nothing sexual.
Not
is
sure
that?
If it's going...
No, There's nothing bad in that. Hold my heart and all.
How's that strange?
Hold my heart and all.
Yeah, how is that strange, Larita?
Come on. If you are in a room with all of what you just described and there's a girl there doing a massage on you and you'd say to her, put your fingertips on my heart and your other fingertips on my head, she's going to think, what the fuck is wrong with this creep? What are you going to do as a follow-on from that?
Nothing, that's the final act of the massage.
That's,
it's kind of like...
That's not okay. That's not okay. Don't ever do that. It's sick. And even though I know it's not intended to be sick, it sounds weird. And it makes the person feel like, okay. Then they do it. And then they think, then it's like a mind game where you're like, well, if she does that now, she might I might say to her, now will you move your hand somewhere else? And she thinks you have to do it. So
yeah, but it'd be worse if he said, put your hand, will you cup your hands on my belly button and start singing with me? Like he did, it was nothing wrong with putting your hand on your heart. Your heart is as far away from your Mickey as possible.
Put your hand on your heart and tell me.
And Tommy, you just wanted to be held. Were you drifting? Were you getting chakras? Were you getting purples and oranges? You were gone, were you?
Maybe that's what was happening, that certain chakras were opening and I just wanted to yes. be...
But she wasn't a chakra opener.
No, but maybe I just want to be midwifed into the rest of the day. And a little touch in the heart might have done it.
Because it's in that moment, in that actual moment of 60 minutes of bliss where you drifted away Ooh. Through the valleys.
But I didn't.
Thankfully. Thankfully you didn't.
I kept it to myself.
Good.
Tommy,
you should have kept it to yourself now too.
The next time. It's always funny when they go, now the time is up. Just have a little, just relax there. I'll be back to you in a few minutes and you can put on your clothes again.
Yes.
Just relax. And then you lie there and it's as if you have no body, isn't it? You don't feel anything.
Yeah, it's lovely. My always inappropriate thing is when you go in and they say, take off all your clothes. I never know, are you supposed to take all your clothes off or... Are you supposed to leave, you know, it's,
the knickers on?
It's always a bit.
Well, you take your bra. I took my bra off.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because so she could work some away
them,
on your clavicle.
Some of them give you these little paper nappies, these little, yeah, little thingy
disposable
paper,
ones.
Little thing. Yeah, disposable ones. They're a bit, yeah.
Yeah, disposable underwear.
Disposable underwear. So they can get right up at the back of your glutes.
Yeah. So you're...
It's almost like those hats you'd wear in a bakery, yeah. You know, when you're baking, but them around your... On Thomas and your...
I bet you now when word will get out of my peculiar request, my peculiar unspoken request, I will guarantee you now in 6 or 7 months' time you're going to see on the menu of various different spas 5 minute heart and head holding. Happy ending. That's going to...
Yeah,
because people see that...
I find the head is in a magnificent... when the head is massaged and scratched and rubbed, it is as if the baggage... Did you feel good, Tommy? Was it an Indian head massage? Was she deep into your scalp?
Yes.
Isn't it magnificent? The head we take for granted, though, the shit that's in there.
Yes.
And to get it taken out. How did you feel when you left the room? Were you floating?
That was nice now. It was good. I wasn't altered... Huge.
Did you go back up to the room and turn on Eurosport and the news? I just sit in the bed.
I went up to the room and pulled myself asunder.
Put on Deep Forest there. Spotify, Deep Forest.
Oh my God. I can assure you that it's not going to be... There's certain massage parlours that probably already have that on their menu, Tommy.
Cup my heart and
no,
cup
fingertips.
My head.
I said,
finger my heart and finger my head.
Finger my heart.
Heart fingering. Anyway,
that was you at the weekend. My Friday night, I felt I did a bit of gallivanting on Friday night.
Ooh.
And it just was completely spontaneous. It was magnificent. I was lying on the couch on Friday evening and I knew there was a match on and I said, will I go? Will I not go? And then my mate who sells the batteries all over the country, Noel, texts me and he says, what are you at? He says, I'm driving out through Clare Galway. I says, I was half thinking of going to a match in Athenry. And within 25 minutes, I had picked up Battery Noel from County Cavan. And we were on our way to a Division 2 league final where Clare Galway were playing Barna in Friday night in Athenry. Great match. And Division 2 senior league, top stuff. So we won by 3 points. Great. It was a nice crowd over in Athenry and Kenny Park. And then on the way back, we snuck in
Hector,
to
I'm
one
pure
of the
jealous.
Nicest little, one of the nicest little country bars I have ever been in my life. It looks like a house from the outside. It's in Abinachmyon. It's called Mannion's. He's an undertaker. He's got a sign outside that says pub and a Galway flag. And you drive by it like it's a house. So we went in the front door, which looks like a sitting room door. And as I walked in on Friday evening at 9:30, there was a turf fire on the left-hand side and a load of people sitting like they were in the sitting room. And I walked in and went, well, Hector, how's it going? And then walked in another room and another turf fire on and another 7 lads in the bar, all sitting individually on lounge seats and different stools. And I had one of the creamiest pints of Guinness ever in a lovely country pub on a summer's evening with 2 turf fires burning in Mannion's in Abinachmyon. It was beautiful. And there were lads coming in who were contracting, cutting silage, All sorts
there's
of characters.
There's nothing
in
nicer,
there.
Is there? Than oh, an even. Geez. Now, you see, that's the sort of stuff I felt like I was missing out on because I couldn't leave the house. Just taken for granted going up to watch a football match and stopping in a random place along the way and having a nice pint on the way home.
You've been given the all clear now, Larita, have you?
Yeah, I'm fine now.
So when are you walking out of the house?
So, I walked out with the bin last night in my dressing gown and my new shoes.
Oh, driving the neighbours demented. Oh, there she is, the hussy.
I was like that, what's your one, Jessica Rabbit? I was just like her Jessica Rabbit, yeah. Yeah, right. So today, what do you do on your first day out?
Porter.
I did say last, I just realised last night I haven't been out for nearly, I've missed a whole weekend of drinking.
Oh, Larita, we had so much crack when you were inside.
Oh, and I missed everything. Yeah,
there was something,
everything.
I don't know, it just, knowing that you were locked up, I don't know, it just made everybody feel giddy.
It's the worst feeling, isn't it, when you're not allowed to go out and you think everybody else. I have this massive fear of losing out when I'm locked.
Oh, you sure did, Larita, you missed everything. The crack
was
tremendous.
I'm going to make up for it massively this weekend. I'm going to leave the house today and I'm never coming back.
Get a taxi into Ballina and just go find your favourite pub and have a beautiful, beautiful pint of porter and then phone the beloved and say, you better pick me up because I'm not coming out of here now till much later.
Yes.
That would suit you.
That wouldn't it? Yeah.
That'd be lovely.
That's what I'll do. I'll go to a match this evening and have a pint afterwards.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Beautiful.
I sort of kept this from you, and I didn't want to say it to you, but I had a busy day yesterday, and it was sort of like I got so you know, last year I got my heart checked and all that. Well, I went. I don't know if you realize that I was getting a sort of a pain on this podcast once in a blue moon.
A cramp.
I would jump, a cramp. Yeah, and you've heard
in
it on this
leg.
Podcast because it's happened twice in the podcast when we recorded in Dublin. Yes, Larita, you know, and it happened in the hen house, and I would spasm, jump.
Yes.
And the only way I could describe the pain was 10 out of fucking 10 for about 30 seconds, where I felt that something inside my body had somersaulted and fucking moved into an area of my body that it's not allowed go. And I went, what the fuck is that? Quite hard to keep the podcast going at the same time.
Such a professional, Hector. Honestly, we wouldn't have noticed
Jesus,
it was that bad.
Jesus. Inside, I'd be going, fucking hell, what the fuck is that? And then I would let it go. It would be gone after 30 seconds. So I decided to investigate more because I'm in that sort of investigative mode. Maybe it's because of Freddie and maybe because of everything. Maybe it's because I'm I'm 52 years of age now, maybe because we feel pains a little bit more. I don't know.
Totally. Hector, so, Hector, you are the Miss Marple of your own body.
Yes, I am. I am the Angela Lansbury of my body. I am the Sherlock Holmes of my anatomy. And Tommy, you know, since biology class, I have a fixation with the anatomy, and I do like finding out lots more things about the human body. So I said, fuck this anyway. Once in a blue moon, I get that. What is that? So to cut a long story short, I was in the clinic.
Most unlike you, Hector.
Yes. Well, I think we need longer stories today of all.
Hector, how do you go into the clinic and describe a cramp to them?
Well, I said to my doctor, Boff, I said, Boff, I want to sort this out. Sometimes I get an awful fucking 10 out of 10 spasm on the left, to the left of me belly button. Because the only way to describe to a doctor when you're getting a pain is, don't say 7 out of 10, because that's fucking grand. Irish men, when you say 6 out of 10, that could be about 7 out of 10. But if you're an Irish man, you say the pain is 10 out of 10. It's fucking excruciating. Just like your father. Remember, broken ribs and everything. Yeah. His pain threshold. So I said to Bob, that was months ago. Now, I was out in Krakow filming in Poland, and I got a phone call from the clinic, Galway Clinic, to say, hi, Hector, we have you
so, in so, for... Hector, what, where were you?
So I was in Poland when I got the call there a couple of months ago to go for these tests.
What were you doing in Poland?
I was doing one of my shows.
Get out. What kind of shows do you do?
I do a travel show for TT Carr. This one is a travel show. This one's called The Balkans to the Baltic.
Jesus,
it's an epic 3,500-kilometer trip. Did I never tell you about this?
Why have you mentioned
you were in Poland and we know you so well?
Have you done years and years and years of these shows?
Oh, yeah, I've been doing them for 22 years.
Why didn't you mention it before, Hector?
Have I never mentioned that I've travelled all over the world?
I thought we were friends.
To anyone. Fuck's sake. How remiss of me not to tell you. Did I not tell you I was in Krakow, one of the great classical European cities?
Oh, no, you didn't.
Go on anyway. Go on.
In the Jewish quarter.
Go on.
So I'm putting this thing on the long finger. And I got a call when I was about to do a piece to camera in the old Jewish quarter in Krakow in the middle of fucking February. And it was, Hector, we're ringing here from the clinic and Dr. Joyce's office. Are you ready to come in for your colonoscopy? And I'm there going, no, I'm in Poland at the moment. I don't know. I'll get back to you.
I'm never coming back.
And I left it off because when you utter those words, colonoscopy, I'd be going, fuck, man, what am I doing this for? I don't feel it. Do I have a pain? Do I don't? I'm grand. Am I grand? I'm not. Typical fucking Irishman. So anyway, I put it on the long finger and the long finger finally broke off yesterday. So yesterday I was fasting. There's no better time to be fasting than when Clare are playing in the All-Ireland hurling semi-final and against Kilkenny. And while the rest of my family are having a roast lamb dinner, I'm taking a thing called movie prep, which is a liter of water mixed with two sachets A and B. And I have to drink it. And I swear to God, 15 minutes after having the first slug, I start hearing gurgling. And then 20 minutes later, I'm going, oh, my God, it's like Mount Vesuvius. And I'm going, what is that? So then you go to the toilet and for the next 24 hours, you drink this stuff and you get yourself ready. The product is called Movie Prep. Have you ever heard
of it? Yeah, Movicol it's called.
Movie Prep was the one I was on. So it clears everything. It was the Niagara Falls for me.
It empties your bowels.
Tommy.
It's disgusting.
It pebble dashes. After a while, when there's no when there's nothing left to give.
After a while, when there's nobody left in the house.
There's nothing left to give. No, you're sitting there, and it's almost like opening the Hoover Dam. That's the way it is, the Hoover Dam. Well, some of the great dams of the world, because it's just H2O that's coming out at that stage. So anyway, so yesterday I went in at 7:30, and I had an awful lot of stuff done, and my whole day I was in there. So
what,
I went in at 7:30.
What'd you get done?
The first thing I got done was I went into a CT scanner again for more dye into my body to look at my kidneys, my lungs, my stomach, and my hips. So I went in and had to get this dye put into me at about 9 o'clock yesterday morning into a CT scanner And because this, the professor, when I told him about this, he said, we're going to do a whole scan of your stomach area, your bowels, everything, Hector. Every man should be at this. I have a good chance at picking up stuff if we can see into your body. He said, right, we'll do a CT scan on your all your organs. And I was going, oh, for fuck's sake. So I did that. Lungs, kidneys, stomach, everything. So that was in the morning time. Then back down, and then we got ready for the main spectacle of the day. So I got myself prepped for the colonoscopy.
Okay. Yesterday. Which is a kind of a tube up your bum.
Yeah, it's a, it can be 4 meters, 5 meters, 6 meters, 7 meters, 8 minutes. A camera. It's a camera.
What?
Up your, it's a camera. And
so go back. So 4 meters.
But sure, how long is your small intestine? How long is the how big is the big intestine?
Not wide now, Tommy. Not 4 meters wide.
Tommy, it goes like this. It's all spirals. It can go on and on. So everyone's intestines are different.
Well, what's the thing called when you when they just flush water up your bottom? What's that called?
That's called an anal irrigation.
It's an anal irrigation. No, it's not. Is that not?
That's called a thing you sit on in the toilet. Colonoscopy. A colonoscopy is when they put the camera up your bum.
But what's the one where they just flush it out with water?
That is an irrigation.
That's a fucking B-day, Tommy, in a hotel.
Some sort of
colonic irrigation.
Colonic irrigation.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, but you can do that doing yoga and all that. So okay. Yeah, anyway, I was sort of happy because you're there, you're lying there, and it's all this. Oh my God.
Was it sore, Hector?
Tommy, it's like you're lying in the bed and you can hear other people in different cubicles and there's all sorts of conversations going on. And have you any metals in your body? No. Have you any false teeth? No. Have you ever had this done before? No. Have you had luckily I brought the Sunday Times and me reading glasses. So do you know what I tried to do to concentrate on was David Walsh on the back pages. I was like this in the thing. And I pulled the curtains over and I said, please let me concentrate on something else. I could feel my heart going boom, 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 boom. And then your one goes, well, just check your blood pressure. And I went, oh, for fuck's sake, I'm nervous enough as it is. And she goes, Jesus Christ almighty, you're fairly cantering along there. I said, yeah, I do have white coat syndrome. I know I have.
Okay.
I don't like that. Do you know when it goes tighter?
Yes.
And tighter? I just start fucking going, I go tighter with it. I said, stop it. So anyway, then the news came, we'll get you in. And I must say the anaesthetist was fantastic because it was a beautiful conversation.
What did they anaesthetize?
They anaesthetized my whole body, general anaesthetic.
Oh, you're general anaesthetic?
For what?
Yeah, man.
For what?
Hang on a second. This is a colonoscopy.
You don't get a general anaesthetic for a colonoscopy. That means you're knocked out.
Yeah, I was knocked out. It was one of the most magnificent
for a colonoscopy
I've had. Hang on, Larita. They're about to put a camera all through my body, and you're saying I want to be sitting down, going, "Put on TG Carr there. You've got a bad air reception."
They knocked you out for it.
Your man is there. Do you know when you're working on a site or that guy is wrangling wires?
You must be awful afraid. I got one and I didn't get knocked out.
Oh, you know, you have to get knocked out for this.
For putting the camera up your ass.
Yes, definitely. So I was wheeled in and this guy goes, "Hey, Hector." And then Professor Joyce, a magnificent man, He said, "Hector, everything will be fine. Don't you worry about a thing." We started talking about the hurling. Then I mentioned I'm married to a Clare woman. Then we started talking about Le Hinch. And before he could even finish the sentence about Le Hinch, Saya, fucking Nara, hello Helsinki, and Ihawa August Kulasov. And you know that thing that comes up with the little girl on BBC and it's just a picture of her fixing the colours. It was fucking glorious. I remember your man coming over to the thing that's in your arm, and he goes, "Hey, Hector." And I went, it was like somebody pulled the plug on the ESB power station at Pulnafuka, and I was sayonara, adios, ad vision, salon, and here we go. So I was fucking
nice in
the matrix. I don't know then. I don't know. 45, 50 minutes later, I'm back out and there's a lady talking to me. She's there. "Hector, how are you? Would you like a cup of tea? Hector, how are you? Would you like a cup of tea?" And I was just, yeah, tea and toast. Lovely.
Oh, lovely.
Just for that, those blissful few moments when you wake up, the tea and toast was magnificent. And it was an adventure, but I'm so glad I did it because the professor came in then after it and he said, "Hector, everything is 100%. No polyps, no nothing in the bowel, everything." I said, "Prof, how far did you go?" And he goes, "You want me to show you?" And then he took, he started showing me the insides of my body through the, from the camera photos. And I, he said, here's your bowel, here's your stomach.
Was it hideous?
Here's your small. It was, no, it was brilliant. It looked like the inside of a walrus.
Oh, Hector.
No, it's just all different colors and reds and golds. And I said, what's in there? And he said, it was grand. So I am so, the level of euphoria and contentment that I've got, went and got checked. And he recommends it to an awful lot of men, like the prostate, check, like everything.
Is it expensive? When they get, is it expensive?
No, not that expensive. But he said, he recommended that, that a lot of men should
Did
get
you find out why you get the cramps though?
No, all I was worried about was there was something else. Why am I getting it? But I'm getting that. That's definitely a muscular thing, because when I sit in the wrong position for a long period of time, boom, it's like, oh, for fuck's sake. So I thought there was something else.
What?
And the only way to...
What a waste of fucking time.
Fucking hell, Hector. After all that, you didn't even find out why you have a pull muscle in your leg.
No, but you don't understand.
No, I do understand, someone... Hector. You get a pain in your leg and you didn't eat. You get a pain in your leg and then you said, I better go to the doctor. And you fasted for a week and they shoved a camera up your hole and you're still getting pain in your leg.
No, 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 no. What I wanted to know was there anything, why was I getting this incredibly sharp pain in my stomach?
There's only you're one getting place a pain in your stomach as well.
I told you it's the left of my belly button. That's where I get the spasm. That's it.
No, you said it was your leg.
You said it was your leg.
Yeah, but it's coming from my fucking belly button. It's coming from my stomach.
Fucking confusing.
I stop, would you? I get that
Hector,
spasm.
Are you inside out and back to front or what?
It's gone. It's to the left of the belly button, down a bit, and then into the leg.
So it travels. You have a travelling spasm.
So anyway,
travelling spasm. That's a song about.
I was so happy. I was so happy.
That's good news.
So, and what time did you get out of the hospital at?
I got out there about 2 o'clock yesterday afternoon, and just glad I went in and got it done. Might have been, people might say, oh, it was nothing in the end, but fuck it.
Oh, you're sure you're better known anyway.
But,
did you book Tommy in for next week?
I booked Tommy in, and mad to think that with the technology that they have, it's fucking magnificent that he could go in there to the darkest, deepest valleys of my bowels, my stomach,
Jesus, that's so
my intestines.
Reassuring
no,
to know.
And to check it out and to check these things out. But what I will say on General Men's Health is the CT scan. He said, I want to check your kidneys. I want to look at your lungs. I want to look at your stomach and I want to see the hip. I want to see your inside your body. And that scan is a go-to for every man.
Can you get that done on your health insurance?
Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Anyway, that was my day yesterday.
You're such a lick, Hector.
Why?
You're such a lick.
Why?
Get everything checked out. Go on, check.
Oh, shut your mouth, Tommy. No.
I have a pain in my toe. No, will you take out my stomach there and have a look at it?
Larita, yeah. He wouldn't go for the thumb up the bum, right? He wouldn't go for it until we got him to go.
Yeah, but his sphincter is so loose now. You could put a house up there.
And Tommy,
you're such a lick. You're such a kind of.
You went and got your heart checked, Tommy. Oh, yeah, because your heart is so hard sometimes. You went and got your heart checked. I know, because
your heart is so hard.
Your heart, Tommy, you went and got checked because I went and got checked. And because of Freddie, I know you did.
Did I get my heart checked?
Yes, you did. You went for that big
checkup. No, I didn't. I know you forget. I asked her. I asked the lovely little girl to put her fingers on my heart, and her fingers on my forehead. And she wouldn't do it for me, Hector. Wouldn't do it.
Oh, there's a special hospital.
You did
that
go and get
that.
Your heart checked out. I know you did, Tom.
I can't remember if I did or not.
Tommy doesn't like getting bogged down in the details.
The moral of the story is well done to
you. Well done to you, Hector.
Professor Joyce. And
you're a great lad.
Well done, Hector.
You're a great lad. To men out there, if there is a problem down there, just go
and women as well, Hector. Don't be so.
And women.
Want the women as well.
Oh, yeah. Don't forget about us. We've got hearts too, Hector, you know.
Can't forget about that.
Are mad for the fucking health, the Perry.
All I'll say.
Oh,
to
we're
you
two qualified experts in every department of the hospital. Me and Hector, we've been in so many of them.
Well, that was my day yesterday.
Well, thank you very much, everybody, for listening. I hope you've enjoyed this week's episode. It's great to hear that Larita will be back out in the wild. Look out, Ballina. The name of this week's episode is.
Oh, I've got one. Hang on.
You're not understanding the process.
Larita,
no, I have a really good one that somebody texts me. It's Monte Carlo.
Just leave an appropriate pause there.
Well, sorry about that, Mark. I did try my best.
Spell Monte.
Tommy, come up.
M-O-N-T-E and then Carlo as in C-A-R-L-O-W.
Oh, Monte Carlo. Oh, that's not bad at all. That's not bad at all. My one
that
comes
came from Mark Macaulay.
My one came in from William Ryan. Very okay. funny. Are you ready for it?
Suppose.
Roundstone Cowboys.
That can... Okay. If we can do Monte Carlo next week, nothing. We can have...
There's no affinity. There's no link there with any soccer team.
Yeah, at least Monte Carlo probably have a football team. Or they at least have a speedboat.
All right, this week's episode is called Roundstone Cowboys. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. God bless and good luck.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.